కృష్ణ, ఓం సచ్చిదానంద. డియర్ లిసనర్స్, లెట్ మీ స్టార్ట్ బై థ్యాంకింగ్ ది గీతా ఆశ్రమ్ రిప్రజెంటేటివ్స్ హూ హ్యావ్ టేకన్ దిస్ ఇన్క్రెడిబుల్ ఎఫర్ట్ టు ప్రజెంట్ దిస్ భగవద్గీత సెషన్ వెర్ దే వాస్ డిఫరెంట్ పీపుల్ టు టాక్ ఆన్ డిఫరెంట్ చాప్టర్స్ ఆఫ్ ద భగవద్గీత. ఐ వాస్ వెరీ ఆనర్డ్ టు బి ఆస్క్డ్ టు పార్టిసిపేట్ and I'm supposed to talk on chapter 11. And I must confess, I'm not a Gita chanting chanting personality. I purely try to understand the meaning behind some of the verses and what Krishna is trying to convey to mankind. So that's what I've been doing. Now, one of the things that I have done in the past, which has helped me now to come into chapter 15, is that several years ago in Puttaparthi, they had a big session on the Vedas and they asked me to speak. Now, why would they ask me to speak on the Vedas? Okay, there were so many Veda masters there. Because I had done something rather unusual. I had heard in many talks people saying that what's in the Vedas is applicable to everybody in the world. Veda is universal. So I thought to myself, well, we can claim that. But will the others also accept that particular saying that what is in the Vedas is applicable to the whole world? So I began to study some of the verses in the Vedas, and I got the meanings of those verses, and I tried to see where it matched the world view of these subjects. And then I wrote this book called Sparks of the Divine Fire, showing the parallel between what the Veda says and what the rest of the world is talking about. And this was well received. That's why they asked me to speak in Puttaparthi on this subject. So now, using that particular application, I have also looked into the present science behind creation, because the chapter 11, if you look at it, is basically not talking much about great philosophy there. Krishna is now showing Arjuna the cosmic form at Arjuna's request, and Arjuna is seeing this incredible, magnificent, fearsome form of Krishna, which actually the whole universe. And he's seeing what is happening in the whole universe. What happens in the whole universe? In the universe, it shows people the creation of world, planets, it shows destruction of planets going and colliding with each other. It shows about millions of people dying in different ways. So it shows a lot of frightening scenes as well as a lot of beautiful scenes of creation, the gardens and planets. It's a complicated scene that none of us actually can even envisage, except through movies. You know, we may have seen some of these, okay? So now, how do we now understand what is the inner significance of what's happening in this kind of our ancient scriptures? So one thing now that we must understand, we cannot use our modern three-dimensional thinking to fit into the magic of the Puranas and the Vedas and the Bhagavad Gita. We have got to alter our thinking. So what does that mean? That means the Vedas talk about, it starts by talking about, first there was the ocean, and the ocean of ocean, and in the ocean there was a seed floating. Then I thought to myself, where is the ocean before the world is created? Where was the ocean? What are they talking about? Then I realized they're not talking about ocean of salt water and what have you. They're talking about the ocean of consciousness. So I had to change my thinking to interpret what the authors of the Vedas were talking about. Likewise, now in the Gita here, we cannot translate what Krishna is saying and what he's showing into a normal three-dimensional thinking. We got to go beyond that and see what lies beyond the messages. So this is what I've tried to do in this particular chapter 11 session. Okay. So you see me quoting from people like Stephen Hawking, some of the great creation theorists, you know, and we're talking about Vashishta, Yoga Vashishta. I blend all this into this particular format so that all of us can understand the real meaning behind what Krishna is saying. Okay, so this is something that I want to share with you. So, when they talk about the creation principle in the Puranas and the Vedas, they talk about starts with the ocean and the sea, as I mentioned to you. So, in this context, I want to take you back to one of the great master yogis, great rishis, Vashishta himself. Okay, all of you will know Vashishta. And Vashishta was there at the time of Rama. And Vashishta, there's a fantastic conversation between Vashishta and Rama. And he talks about, Rama had asked him about creation. And so this particular word, chapter 11, is actually Krishna is talking about creation principle to Arjuna. And let me share with you some of the words here in this Yoga Vashishta. This is Vashishta telling Rama. A throbbing arose in the Creator, whose thoughts had spread out as the universe. This throb brought into being the subtle body made of intelligence of all beings, made only of thought. All these beings duly appeared to be. Though they felt their appearance was real, however, this appearance is imagined to be real, produce realistic results or consequences, even as a sexual enjoyment in a dream does. He is the intelligence that supports the entire universe. Now here he is talking about the entire creation, about Brahman, as what actually Krishna is conveying to Arjuna in his particular chapter 11. He is the intelligence that supports the entire universe. And every thought that arises in that intelligence gives rise to a form. Now you see in this chapter 11, Krishna, Arjuna sees many, many forms. He sees divine forms, he sees all kinds of things. Okay. So this intelligence gives rise to a form. Though all these forms are of nature of pure intelligence on account of self-forgetfulness of this and of thought of physical forms, they freeze into the physical forms. Even as goblins though formless, are seen to have forms on account of perceived delusion. O Rama, I shall narrate to you how this creation appears to have emerged from the pure, undivided cosmic being, even as dreams appear in the consciousness of the sleeping person. So here he is talking about how the creation appears to emerge from the pure, undivided cosmic being. And chapter 11 of the Bhagavad Gita talks about what you call the universal form, the cosmic being. That's why I brought this in to make you understand how these images relate to consciousness being projected at the very at the beginning of time itself. Okay. So now, and here's what Arjuna is saying in chapter 11. He talks about the you are. He tells Krishna after seeing this cosmic form of Krishna, he is terrified, and he says, "You are the supreme primal objective. You are the ultimate resting place of all this universe. You are inexhaustible, and you are the oldest. You are the manifest. You are the maintainer of the eternal religion, the personality of Godhead. This is my opinion." He's telling about Krishna. And then he says, "Although you are one, you spread throughout the sky and planets and all space between. Oh, great one, seeing this wondrous and terrible form, all the planetary systems are perturbed." He goes on describing this incredible vision that he's seeing, you know, in all the manifestations of Lord Shiva, the Adityas, the Vasus, the Sadhyas, the twin Maruts, the forefathers, the Gandharvas, he's seeing all these people, all these divine forms in this particular cosmic vision. And then he is totally confused, of course, okay? All the sons of Dhritarashtra, along with all the allied kings and Bhishma, Drona, Karna, he's seeing all of them in this vision, okay? And all the chief soldiers are rushing into the fearful mouth. Now watch this now. He talks about all rushing into the fearful mouth, the mouth of Krishna in this cosmic form is open, you know. He's seeing this, all rushing into this. And some I see trapped with heads smashed between your teeth. What a terrible form he's seeing, okay. So, dear friends, and then he says, I see all people rushing full speed into your mouth as moths dash to the destruction in a flaming fire. What does this mean? How are we to interpret this? Dear friends, this in the modern context is describing what is happening in the universe, what they call the black hole. Today now, as modern physicists, you know, looking at the universe, they see the entire universe, only planets, everything there, you know, millions of stars and light years away. You're talking about not just one few years, light years away. The planets are so far away. Yet within this entire mystery of the universe, there is something happening which the scientists have seen. They call this a black hole or black matter. And they see the whole universe now, this black hole, is something that they can't see the black hole because you cannot see it. It's not a physical thing. But they know it exists because there seems to be a huge flow taking place of planets from outside the black hole, going into the black hole and disappearing. Things are coming from the like planets and all this rushing into this black hole and they disappear and no one can see where it is. Likewise, it's happening here. He's seeing now, he sees all people rushing full speed into your mouth as moths dash to destruction in a blazing fire. This is the black hole. This is exactly what the scientists would have described, what they are seeing here. Something all disappearing into this thing, no one knows where it's gone. The theory is that there's another black hole being created, there's another universe is being created outside, but yet still unproven. But what we know is that the universe is rushing, all the planets, all of it, ultimately Earth itself, a few million years from now, rushing into this black hole and also disappear. So don't panic, okay? It's not happening tomorrow. So this is what now is happening here in this chapter, where Krishna is showing Arjuna what is happening now in the present universe that modern science is now detecting. The whole, where is this, all this thing going to end up? They're going to end up in this black hole. Only thing that modern science doesn't know what is beyond this black hole. Down everything going disappearing into that. So this is something that stunned me when I saw the amazing parallel of what Krishna is saying to Arjuna and what Vasishtha is saying to Lord Rama and what modern science is talking about in terms of this the universal form. So this is what I was trying to convey to you. And then Krishna tells Arjuna, Drona, Bhishma and all this Karna and other great warriors have already been destroyed by me. What are you worried about, okay? All been destroyed, they all been taken into this big mouth, the black hole. They will be entering into the black hole and destroyed. Therefore kill them and do not be disturbed. Simply fight and you will vanquish your enemies in the battle. So here is the battle. Why would Krishna encourage such a battle? Because it is a battle for Dharma, to maintain. These guys were going against Dharma, okay? And for this purpose, the war of the Mahabharata is just a battle of Dharma. Dharma versus Adharma. Pandavas versus Kauravas, and Krishna stood on the side of Dharma. And this is the whole story we are seeing in chapter 11. Then Arjuna tells Krishna, O Krishna, O master of the senses, the world becomes joyful upon hearing your name. That's true. That's why now That's why now the entire scriptures always talks about this particular Kali Yuga, dear friends. The great simplest way to worship divinity is through Namasmaran, repeating God's name. So you can either say Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna like that, or you can sing bhajan now. Gopal, 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 Nandalala, Gopal, 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 Nandalala, Gopal, 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 Nandalala. So it is repeating God's name is the easiest form. Those days during Treta Yuga and Dwapara Yuga, there are different methodologies were used to invoke divinity. One phase it was just pujas, you know, to offering flowers to everything. Then came yagnas, you know, yagnas you do the, in Treta Yuga I think there was yagnas that came in. Then now for the Kali Yuga he said, because man will be too busy, you know, to do all this yagnas and big major pujas, like those days the kings used to do, they think the chanting of God's name is the easiest way. So, like, Gopal, 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 Nandalala. Or the famous, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Or you can use any God's name. Okay, Subramanyam, Subramanyam, Shanmuganada, Subramanyam, Krishna, any God's name we can use to invoke divinity. So, this is how we must understand the interpretation of the Vedas, okay. They do not use the language of the common man to describe it, you know, the trees, the bushes, the people. They describe the cosmic awareness that all part of the divine. They say what there inside this entire universe, you can see divinity through creation. This is what is happening in this chapter 11. That Krishna is showing Arjuna the universe through his creation, which is what? Which is the planets and the people and the devas and asuras and people going inside and into the fire and disappearing into this mouth. What is this mouth? There is no mouth in the universe, nothing there. But it is this cosmic emptiness. It goes into the black hole. And this is a fantastic revelation that science has brought into our thinking when they talk about the creation. Okay. He said, this universe is in fact the eternal, effulgent, infinite consciousness. That's what Vasishtha is telling Rama. And exactly what Krishna is showing Arjuna. The universe is in fact the eternal, effulgent, infinite consciousness which generates within itself the knowable which would be known as that which is to be, with an idea concerning its form, which is space, and with an inquiry concerning itself. This is space brought into being, when after a considerable time the consciousness of creation becomes strong and the infinite being, the future jiva, living cosmic souls, also known as Hiranyagarbha, arises within it. So this is a very profound language, you know. It's interesting, I mean, one day if we can have one session of what Vasishtha explain to Rama. Rama asks Vasishtha some very simple question. What is God? What is creation? How all this being created? He asks this kind of simple question. The people is asking now. Rama asks Vasishtha. And now in this chapter 11, we are seeing the creation, and Rama explains, you know. He says, the five elements, Vasishtha says, the five elements are the seed of which the world is the tree, and the eternal consciousness is the seed of elements. As is a seed, so is a fruit. Therefore, the world is nothing but Brahman, the Absolute. The world is nothing but Brahman, the Absolute. And what Arjuna is saying is, the world is nothing but Brahman, who is Krishna, the cosmic Krishna. Okay. So, this is an incredible parallel when we see the various texts, you know, of our Hindu scriptures, linking all these in different times and places. People are great minds are talking, but they all merge into one particular pool of knowledge. Okay, so this is what the various chapters we talk about. See of this manifest. See, Arjuna tells Krishna, you are the original personality of Godhead, the oldest, the ultimate sanctuary of this manifested cosmic world. You are the knower of everything, and you are all that is known knowable. You are the supreme refuge above the material modes. O limitless form, this world, this whole cosmic manifestation is pervaded by you. Can you imagine this? And this is what Vashita tells Rama, okay, in a different yuga. The five elements are the seed of which the world is the tree, and the eternal consciousness is the seed of the elements. As is the seed, so is the fruit. Therefore, the world is nothing, Brahman, the absolute. Exactly what Krishna is telling Arjuna, you know. What Arjuna is explaining to Krishna, what he's seeing. So, dear friends, this particular chapter is a wonderful description of what the universe is, and the fact that it so much links with what we see about the creation theory, you know, of the universe as modern science is trying to present to us. So this is, see, and then Vasishtha explains to Krishna, to Rama. So I'm bringing Rama and Krishna into this whole thing, okay, because the same avatars, okay. The vibration in the infinite consciousness is not different from that consciousness itself. From that vibration, just as the jiva becomes manifest, even so the mind becomes manifest because the jiva thinks. The mind itself entertains the notion of the five elements and it transforms itself into those elements. So as you think, it becomes. This is how it works. As the cosmic consciousness thinks, it becomes. You know, it doesn't have, there's no separate time for the creation to take place. As it thinks, it becomes. As it thinks, the thing becomes. And likewise now, what Arjuna is seeing, what Krishna is showing him. Okay, so now what happened is now that the scene here, when Arjuna sees this cosmic being, you know, where this whole universe is crushing, going into this big mouth, the huge mouth, you know, and the teeth are crushing everybody to death, and all this thing he's seeing, he cannot take it anymore. The sight is too horrifying for the human mind to take. So then Arjuna says, after seeing this universal form, which I have never seen before, I am gladdened, but at the same time my mind is disturbed with fear. Therefore, please bestow you. So I mean, we guys, can you imagine if we see this cosmic form, we all collapse, okay? And therefore, please bestow your grace upon me and reveal again your form of the personality of Godhood. O Lord of Lords, the abode of the universe. Then he says, O universal form, O thousand-armed Lord, I wish to see you. He said, please come back to your original form, okay? With four arms and a helmet and a head and a club and a conch and a lotus flower in your hands. I beg to see you in that original form. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear Arjuna, happily have I shown you my internal potency. This supreme universal form within the material world, no one before you has ever seen this primal form, unlimited and full of glaring effulgence. So dear devotees, what is seeing? Krishna sees, you know, thousand suns with blazing wonder. Imagine if all the whole universe, which is light years from where we are now, all the suns merge together. Can you imagine what's going to happen? We'll all be burnt to crisp for a start. But you can imagine the frightening sight it will show. Even if the suns, few of the suns come close to Mother Earth, we all be super, super dead, okay? So Krishna says, oh, no one before you has ever seen the universal form of mind. For neither by studying the Vedas, also performing sacrifices, not by charity, not by pious activities, nor by severe penance can I be seen in this form, in this material world. So he's telling now how lucky you are. No one can see me like this. So he says, I am showing this to you. Actually, Krishna is showing this to Arjuna, not because to show to Arjuna. He wanted through Arjuna to tell the world what is the cosmic form of divinity. The cosmic form of divinity is what the present scientists are talking about. The entire universe, okay? The creation, destruction, all going on all the time. And so this is what we are showing now in this chapter 11. And when we, so please dear devotees, when you read the Gita, or you read any of the Vedic texts, okay, we must unlock our mind from our normal three-dimensional thinking, that everything must follow this particular system. But no, we cannot. Remember the ocean. First there was the ocean we talk about. But where the ocean, you know? There's no ocean, purely ocean of consciousness. So the moment we say ocean, we think of salt water, you know? But it's not it. So this is what we must unlock our mind to show this all universe, all the trees, and all he sees, all this way, all these divine God forms, you know, all the supreme. So this is what the form you are seeing with your transcendental eyes cannot be understood simply by studying the Vedas. That's what Krishna is telling him. The form you are seeing with your transcendental eyes cannot be understood simply by studying the Vedas, but by understanding, by undergoing serious penance, nor by charity, nor by worship, only by these means that one can see me as I am. So this is by. Then he talks about, then Krishna moves to another toward the end of this chapter. He says, my dear Arjuna, only by doing undivided devotional service can I be understood as I am, standing before you, and can be thus seen directly. Only in this way can you enter into the mysteries of my understanding. So what's he trying to say now? Because the next chapter after this universe, chapter 11, is chapter 12. Next chapter immediately goes into a chapter on devotional service. So Krishna is opening the doors here for us to lead to now. So therefore, how do you see me? Just because you do puja, just because you do, you're not going to see me. Devotional service. So Bhagavan Baba has told us now, all of you know also, love all, serve all, help ever, hurt never. You know, only by service to mankind. So, but here for example, in this Gita Ashram, I see some incredible people, you know, your own president himself and some of the people who are from the ladies who came and who are organizing this thing. The service they are doing selflessly to create this particular session of the Gita. For whose sake? Not for their sake. They are doing it for all of us, all the devotees. So how much time and trouble these guys, they came to my house and sat with me for 2 or 3 hours, you know, to discuss this. So that kind of service also is not, service doesn't mean that you go to an old folks home and you clean the bathroom, okay, which we have done also very often. It is time you dedicate in your life to helping others, either by service to physical service or by making them understand universal teachings of divinity. So all the great rishis, you know, have gone around the world talking about God, talking about Bhagavad Gita. That is the service they do, you see. Once in fact I was in a session where somebody from overseas had come, and he came and told us, you sir, I'm only involved in thinking about in talking about the scriptures, you know, I don't go and do all this physical service things. Like he said that to all of us, and our group was purely service group, okay. We were somewhere in Kelantan or Terengganu, we were setting a huge medical camp. And then I, after he finished, I said, yes sir, we understand what you're saying. But you must understand, I told all of them, dear, listen to what this great guru is saying. He's telling us, you know, that he's not doing service, that's why he's wrong. I looked at him, sir, you are doing service. The fact that you came all the way from India to Malaysia, and now you're going all round, talking to people, spending all your time, that is the service you're doing. not service, not just sweeping the drains, you know, and cleaning the sheds. Service, anything you do where you dedicate your time for the welfare of others, and you are doing service. So that was it. So like this now, like your president, you know, what he is doing, and what the ladies, you know, who are organizing this day, are doing this kind of service. And I'm not too sure what when the next chapter, when you go into service, I'm not too sure what they will explain to you, how they will explain to you the kind of service that Krishna is talking about. Okay, so we won't go into that part of it. So this is what I want to conclude by telling you that what is written in the Bhagavad Gita in chapter 11 matches. It's not some imagination that Krishna is talking about and somebody is. It matches very well what is happening in the universe now. What Arjuna saw is what's happening in the universe. The big mouth taking in and killing everything, the black hole. This is simply, there's no other explanation for this, okay? And unfortunately, you'll be lucky if you don't see the black hole, okay? You're not really be sucked into it itself. So don't wish to see something that is so destructive, okay? Because the nature of divinity is like that. To give joy, sorrow, everything is there. So dear devotees, I want to conclude with this final remarks and thanking the organizers of this particular session for giving me a chance to think about this subject that normally we don't think about, okay? You know, what's the meaning of this cosmic form? Where's this cosmic form? And where this big mouth, you know, somewhere in the universe? It is there, but it's not in the mouth that we see. Neither is it in the ocean. It's not the salt ocean. It's the cosmic consciousness. So change our mode of thinking to interpret these great sayings in our scriptures. God bless all of you. Hari Om, Hari Om, Sai Ram, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna.